the Democrat of the day for today is 58A. It's Maggie Williams. Maggie is kind enough to join us right now and talk about her campaign for the Minnesota State House. Hi there, Maggie. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for the time. I do appreciate it.
Likewise.
Oh, let's start off 58A. That's a good chunk of Lakeville, isn't it?
It is a very large chunk of Lakeville, yes.
Yeah, it's basically a district. I mean, when I look at that district, one of the first things I see is I really do see opportunity for the DFL here, because with the great lineup of DFL candidates that we have, I believe that's Angie Craig's district as well.
She is too,
and then of course Tim Walz on at the top of the ticket. Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith. You've got a great chance. I think that these are candidates that appeal to that kind of district, and like yourself, which means I think we got a good chance at 58A going to the DFL.
Absolutely, I agree completely. I think if it's going to happen, this year is definitely one of the most promising.
Let's find out a little bit about your background. Who exactly is Maggie Williams?
I am a wife and a mom to two little boys. I work in the healthcare industry, specifically in healthcare administration, and I've done that for nearly 22 years, which has led me to kind of where I am today. My husband was a Marine, and so I see the needs not being met of our veterans. I have one kiddo who is in a special education setting. And so I see the needs of our schools and that they are struggling to meet the needs of their students. And every day I see people coming in who can't afford their healthcare costs. They're paying premiums for this policy, yet they can't afford the out-of-pocket expenses that go with it.
By the way, thanks to your husband for serving. I was U.S. Army, and just let him know, as a Marine guy, I got tons of great jokes about Marines. I'd be happy.
I'm sure you guys could go back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the things that he and I will agree with wholeheartedly, and this is not something I've talked a lot about, is this election cycle, I am 100%. We do not treat our veterans correctly. We do not treat our veterans correctly, or their families for that matter. And
correct.
and it's about time. I'm encouraged by Tim Walz, who's been a very strong advocate for veterans issues at the top of the state ticket here. But it's great to hear that this is something you're going to champion, because I got to tell you right now, there's a lot of Republicans primarily that love to give lip service to how much they support the troops. But the reality is they do not care, and they are not stepping up and helping the troops as they could here in the state of Minnesota.
Correct. My dad was a decorated Navy pilot who served two tours in Vietnam. He was on the USS Bonhomme Richard and the USS Ticonderoga in the South China Sea. And subsequent to his time in Vietnam, he developed PTSD. And he used alcohol as a coping mechanism. And ultimately, that was his demise. That took his life. Now, if we can help reduce that stigma, and if we can meet the needs of our veterans, I think we can do a much, much better job of improving their lives, their families' lives, and build on that going forward.
You brought up the three issues that you primarily, your veterans issues, education, healthcare. Was there one thing in particular that you just said, enough, I'm running, I'm going to run for 58A?
You know, it was really a strong combination of the three. Just kind of seeing this every single day, living this every single day, and seeing people struggle. And I thought, we can't sit back and watch this happen anymore. I need to be able to look my kids in the eye and subsequently everybody in the eye and say, when I saw something wrong, I stood up and I fought for what I believed was right, not only for my family, but collectively for our state.
Good for you. It's a story I've heard a lot this election cycle with Democrats of the day, is, you know, people that have just said enough's enough. Especially, you know,
yep.
What it was that omnibus prime bill, and just the way that the Republicans, that even though there were plenty of things that had universal appeal, that were bipartisan, that could have gotten passed, they basically, the way that they did this, nothing really got done, not because there wasn't agreement, but because the leadership of the Republican Party, and especially in the Minnesota House, tried to use the popular bills as leverage to try to get the extremely unpopular legislation in the omnibus prime bill passed with Governor Dayton.
Yes, you are absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah. Let's go to education. Let's talk. What are some of the issues with education and what you would like to do to champion for 58A and for the state as a whole?
Minnesota has one of the highest racial disparities in education, and we need to adequately and equitably fund our schools so that each district is able to meet the needs of their students in the way that their students need it. What Minnetonka needs is different than what Lakeville needs, and what Lakeville needs is different than Mankato or New Prague or anywhere around the state. We need to be able to look at each district and say, what do you need and how can we best meet those needs so your students are thriving and ready to go on to whatever their life, you know, has in store for them, whether that's college, whether that's trades. We just need to be able to meet their needs where they are.
You know, do you know, I find this very interesting. I've talked about this a lot. This is something where, regardless of inner city schools, rural schools, mm-hmm. The funding system we have in place, the only school districts that seems to work very effectively for are wealthy suburban school districts. And that's the only group that seems to work with it. But because it does work for the wealthy suburban school districts, where a lot of these guys get their campaign donations, there's a hesitancy to address this. You just nailed it perfectly. The school districts, there are different financial considerations when you're looking at a rural school versus an inner city school, but both of them are having the same problem. The funding is not working right now, and just putting levy after levy after levy on a ballot is not going to do it, because you know what? The districts and communities get levied out, and that's not really, that's basically almost holding a gun to the school district community's head, basically saying, if you don't, then we don't get a better school. And I think we have to look at this, because there are some systemic problems with our funding system, which are failing pretty much almost universally statewide.
Yeah, you know, geography should not be the determining factor as to whether or not a school is funded.
Yeah. Or the basically just by luck of the dice, the school district has a fairly wealthy homeownership constituency. So henceforth, they, you know, for them, a levy is not a bigger deal, as opposed to, and it's not, and Lakeville is becoming more metro, but you know, you get a little further south of you, those farmers, they're making $26,000-$27,000 a year. They can't take another $2,000 off that to go fund the school. You're asking for funding to be done the absolute worst way, when the state actually has the ability and the resources to do it correctly.
Correct. Yep, absolutely. So we need to sit down and have an honest conversation about how do we do this and how do we do this better.
Maggie Williams, by the way, is joining us right now, Democrat of the Day, 58A. Your experience in healthcare, what exactly did you do, have you been doing in healthcare?
I work in healthcare administration. So basically, and specifically, I work in the mental health field. So anything non-clinical.
Your personal, professional experience, you know, talk about what you have noticed is a failing in the state and what you would like to address on the medical front in regards to, going into St. Paul.
Overall, kind of across the spectrum, wherever somebody falls economically, over and over again, we are seeing people who cannot afford their healthcare costs, whether that be premiums going up, whether it's they can afford their premium, yet the out-of-pocket costs associated with that policy are not feasible. Every day we see people that have out-of-pocket maximums close to $14,000.
and that basically is you're looking at, and for a lot of people, $14,000 is bankruptcy or death when it comes to premiums on a medical plan.
Yes. Yep. So, I mean, if having to shell out $14,000 before your insurance pays 100% of your medical bills is cost prohibitive to many people. And if healthcare is not affordable, it isn't accessible, because people will hold off on getting the care that they need. And then subsequently it gets worse and worse. And then the healthcare need is greater because they've put it off because they couldn't afford it initially.
And then you look at the other issue, and this is getting a lot of traction nationwide with a lot of races, is the pre-existing conditions. Republicans in the state of Minnesota, they don't want to have a health care plan that covers this stuff, because, frankly, I mean, that's in the way that, as we talked about, the structure of education funding, the structure of medical funding, it gets to be, you know, extremely expensive when you have people with pre-existing conditions. But my goodness, that's exactly why we need to have an affordable healthcare system, because you can't just have 20, 30% of the population having to make a decision of either bankruptcy or death when a loved one gets a serious illness and, God forbid, they have to change a job, or, you know, their plant closes down and they're out of work, and all of a sudden they got that pre-existing condition, and the healthcare plans the Republicans put forward don't have any real options on that level.
Yep. I mean, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head at the moment, like in my social circle or in my family, that doesn't have a pre-existing condition, whether that's a child with asthma, allergies, you know, anything more significant even than that. So how many people do you know that you can actually say they don't have a pre-existing condition, they'll be fine?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know many people that meet that criteria.
Well, and you and I both remember, I mean, the reason why the Affordable Care Act exists is back in the 2000s, the first decade there were, the healthcare companies started making like, oh, babies had pre-existing conditions, henceforth we're not going to cover them. I mean, it became obscene with the way that health problems were being labeled and addressed, that it was more about, we're going to take your money for health insurance, but when it comes time for you to use it, we're not going to allow you to do that. I mean, there was a reason why the Affordable Care Act was passed. Could it be improved? Absolutely. But it is something that if we don't, we have the greatest healthcare on the planet. It's not the quality of healthcare, it's the accessibility. And if we don't fix that problem, we're dooming ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to sit down and figure out a way of how can this be both affordable and accessible without losing the quality of care.
We have got 2 weekends left here. And obviously I'm presuming you're going to be having some volunteer opportunities over the next 2 weekends down
we
in 58.
We have lots and lots of volunteer opportunities.
58A, this is not a big drive, folks, but it is a Republican seat. This is one we can flip to the DFL side, but it's the question I'm asking. What are you doing to make the blue wave happen? And we need volunteers down with Maggie Williams, down in 58A, just down 35, piece of cake to get there. Take some time, door knocking, you know, phone banking, make a donation if you can. Let's help get Maggie over to St. Paul. Maggie, what's the website if people want to get more information on how they can help your campaign?
It's www.electmaggie.org.
Okay.
And if you go to that website, you'll see opportunities both to donate and to volunteer. You can click on either one of those links.
Electmaggie.org, O-R-G. I'll link to all this later on both the Twitter and the Facebook, so make sure you keep an eye out for that. And help Maggie. Once again, this blue wave will not happen on its own. You have to go on out and want it. Now it's crunch time. We've got less than 2 weeks before Election Day. Go down and help out Maggie in 58A. Maggie Williams, thank you very much. I appreciate you being Democrat of the Day today.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Maggie Williams is a very solid candidate down in 58A. Very nice.